Patriots Today is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots.
For Patriots Today, I'm Bob Sosa here in Boca Raton, Florida, site of the NFL owners' meetings, which continued on Tuesday morning with the annual AFC coaches' breakfast, including, of course, the Patriots' Bill Belichick.
First of all, saw that Gerard Mayo. Talked to Gerard a few weeks ago. He told me about his retirement. There have been very few players in my career that I've had the opportunity to coach that say that more of an impact on a team than Gerard has from day one, which is unusual. From the first day he walked in the facility, which was his pre-draft visit to after we drafted him in 2008. He's been a pleasure to coach, a great addition to our team, both on and off the field. Sure, I learned a lot more from him than he did from me. But Gerard, Shawnee, and their family brought a special, I'd say, glow to our team, to our organization. And although Gerard will always be part of the team, and always obviously welcome, he'll be missed on a daily basis, the attitude and work ethic and love for football that he brought was special. And he was very special. We had some changes on the coaching staff in the front office. Great opportunities for Bob, Harold, Patrick, and other organizations. Certainly wish them well, Googe, for contributions that they made, the success that we had with them, and certainly the championship season of 2014. Most of those positions were filled from within. So those people have worked hard and earned that opportunity. Obviously Dante, a little different situation, but kind of the same thing there too. Free agency has been like it usually is. There's been some movement there, like there has been with every team. So as always, we'll try to do the things that we feel are best for our football team, to be as competitive as we can. That's what we've always done. That's what we've done this year. That's what we'll continue to do. So there's really isn't any change in anything that's going on. It's just working through the process. And finally, shout out to Coach Petromala. Hopefully he's feeling better. So that's pretty much the update from me.
With Gerard, did you discuss having a role with him on the coaching staff or the player development staff?
Yeah, any conversations I have with Gerard or any player would be personal between myself and the player. Respect that.
Okay. So the new addition, Chris Hogan. I see someone you've had your eye on for a while. What do you like about him?
I'd say the same thing about all the players that we acquired. We did things we feel like would help our football team. We'll see how it goes.
How would our unfold with Dante? Because I know he was around working with you guys for scouting wise, and he would come back.
Yeah, it just worked out.
Bill, on the trade with Chandler Jones and the Arizona Cardinals last week, did it take a while to set the groundwork and everything and have that come to fruition? And what are some of the things that Chandler takes with him that you might miss?
Yeah. Well, again, Tom is free agency, so some players change teams in free agency, other players, Bennett, Jones, so forth, change in trades, so it's all part of the process.
Did your opinion on Chandler change, Bill, after the incident?
Chandler's a good player for us.
Did you find support to try and get back some draft collateral in that move?
We do. We felt it was best for our football team.
What do you like about Martellus Bennett?
Again, we're happy to add all the players that we've added to our team. We'll put them out there. We'll see how it goes.
built when you have a guy like Shane McClellan, who has not had a great stint somewhere else, how much of your evaluation of him even goes back to when he was coming out of the draft?
We take everything into consideration. We evaluate players. So, I don't know. Everything's a factor.
What did you see with him?
All the players that we added to our team, we felt like could help our team. That's why we added them. We'll see how it goes.
Were you able to work closely with Jonathan Cooper during his draft year?
Honestly, familiar with all these players, yeah.
Is it about Bob Quinn's personality? I know you guys worked together for a long time that will make him successful in Detroit.
Bob did a great job for us, and I'm sure he'll do well with the Lions. So it's a different situation, different team. You know, I can't comment on that. They did a great job for us. Do we think it's best for him and our team?
We'll see
any of the rules changes jump out at you? How about the pennies?
Yeah, we'll wait and hear what the discussion is on those, on that, all the rules.
Do you like the ejection rule?
I'll wait and hear what the discussion is on.
Proposed a few rules the last couple of handful of years, whatever it was, decided not to this year. Is there any sort of reasoning for just kind of laying off on any of them?
No.
You still kind of support the rule that Rex Ryan brought to the table that you've had in years past for making all players reviewable?
There are a lot of rules that kind of are around that subject, so we'll listen to what the discussion is and talk to Robert and decide what we want to do when it comes up.
With Jonathan Cooper, what are some of the unique traits that he has?
Again, all the players that we added, we feel like we'll have an opportunity to help our team and see how it goes.
Is it fair to say it's
all players have good qualities, otherwise we wouldn't have it, whatever they are.
Did you reach out to Peyton Manning or have any conversation with him about his retirement, his legacy, or if you could just give us some insight on what Peyton was to the game?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I could go on and on about the comments I have on the record about Peyton. Things they need to add to those. Any comments that Peyton and I have had, I would say, are between myself and Peyton. I respect the privacy of those.
Chris Hogan, he has that lacrosse background. It quite sounds like he was his strength seems to be he's running the math, but they have to get better sense. Do you see any connection, in that aspect of the game between his lacrosse background?
You recall any of his lacrosse games? He paid a lot of attention to that sport.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know anything to do with this.
Where does the coach's breakfast land on your list of things really, really important?
This is part of the exciting week of the owners' meetings.
And you
can do this enough. They're going to stop sending us, and we can really use this to start. We gotta keep coming.
Whatever you need, Tom.
Bob Quinn, John Robinson, the other guys who've worked under you, you see with the combine, you see it here in the setting. Is there an opportunity to interact a little more with them?
Yeah, it's great to send, yeah.
Sure, it's great to send.
And their wives and all that, it's great.
Is it, to look around, see guys like John Robinson, Bob Quinn, I was talking briefly to John yesterday. Just said how nice it is to have guys that he worked with and came up with to lean on to talk to and feels good about that. Do you feel good to see that, like Thomas and Scott and those guys around?
Absolutely. Yeah. Great level of respect, communication, and trust with those people. So we share a lot of experiences together. And of course, happy for them personally, but professionally, they're great to work with on our team or on a different team.
Different positions, different areas, but do you see any connection between Chris and how you guys in terms of the way they approach the game?
I mean, I've never coached Chris, so let's see how it goes. I'm sure there are.
Is there any sense of, you know, personal pride in being able to promote your son to safety coach?
I'm proud of all my kids.
How have you seen him develop as a coach over the last 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, he's done a good job. I think he's, you know, earned what he's received.
Here's the defensive tackle for the team. He didn't play that much last year. How much were those great practices? Something to come with him in terms of just
evaluation of a player that maybe isn't seeing much in the regular season. Knowing Chip the way that you do, what about him do you think sets him up, assuming that you think he's set up well to do well in his second stint as a head coach?
I think Chip's a really good coach. I've plenty of comments on the record about what I think about Chip Kelly. He's a good friend, he's a good coach. I have a lot of respect for Chip.
Are you the same coach that you were? I don't know whether what type of changes have you made in order to have that degree of success that you had in the second stage?
You have to ask somebody else.
We have some time to talk about the draft as we go along, but just how has the process been, you know, from the combine through what your scouts are getting and what you're getting out of some of the college business? Is there anything that distinguishes this particular group so far?
Well, each one's unique, so yeah, this one's different than all the other ones. I'll just try to figure it out. Yeah, I've already talked about that. They did a great job for us. I'm sure they'll do well in their teams.
One other line said Tavon Wilson. Why do you think this maybe worked out as well as you guys had planned within New England?
There's movement in free agency every year. This year's no different. Players leave and players come. That's free agency in the NFL.
But during his time in New England, I mean, was there a reason he didn't play as much as maybe a second round pick normally would?
We try to be competitive and win every game.
What kind of player are the Lions getting in or some of his good trades?
It's the same thing for all the players that change teams. There are new teams, new situations, so we'll see how it goes.
Nate Ebner, for U.S. Rugby, given your rugby as a supporter here, for him, but more than that, I mean, just what did he do over the last 4 years to sort of put himself in a position to get your blessing to
It's a unique situation. We put out a statement on that. I think that covers it.
But you've had success at times with the crossover practices during training camp with other clubs. What do you like about that? What makes those productive?
I think if you can work with another team, another organization that shares your philosophy of what you're trying to achieve, that can be productive. Jim did a great job for me in Cleveland. Again, I think there's a lot of comments on the record about how I feel about Jim Schwartz. So, nothing's changed. I have a lot of respect for Jim, like him personally.
There's a coaching change in the division like there was with Miami. Do you try to scout that team differently in the offseason, try to build up, you know, what maybe that coach would bring to a team that you're going to pay his place?
Yeah, we look at all the teams at the end of the spring, kind of after things have happened, coaching changes, free agency, the draft, and try to get a little bit of a head start on all the teams, new and old, new staffs, old staffs, new opponents, regular opponents, as we head into the season. And you know, that's, we do that on all of our opponents. So it's the same for everybody. It's obviously different depending on what's shifted on their team, but every team has changes either in staff or in free agency or in the draft or some combination of those.
Robert said yesterday that he wrote a letter to Goodell and he'll ask him for things back. I'm curious if you have any thoughts.
I think he covered it.
You guys got 11 players. The way they're distributed, there's lots of people up there. Down to six there, it's a pretty big gap. Is that something that going into the draft? So what was that gap for the rule?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we're trying to go through the draft process and learn the players and learn the draft. So, how that matches up to where, how many, and where we pick, that's something maybe we'll look at later. I mean, you can only move if somebody else wants to move with you, so you just can't move on your own. So, you always have to be prepared to be where you are. Opportunity comes up, you die with it. Make a decision at that point.
Are there any positions that stick out, you know, at this point? Might be deeper, more talented?
They're still working on me. We're still a month away. Trying to say a lot of information will come in for us, you know, by the end of the month. Our draft visits in April, and it's, there's a lot of coming together that still needs to happen.
Do you get a sense for how much work, percentage-wise, that your scouting department completes by the end of maybe the college season, and how much more they can really add to that during the, I guess, post-NFL season, draft season? And is it a lot of the work that they've already accomplished by the end of the college season, or do you do most of it now?
Yeah, it varies. Some players you're probably pretty close to at the end of the season. Other players, juniors that maybe declare that you weren't expecting to declare, or there's a number of players that have some type of injury situation in the draft that are coming off with some type of injury or that affected their season. So, each guy's different. Everything's different. Probably some things that are fairly, say, in the book, and there's a lot of things that aren't. That doesn't mean somebody that's in the book is any further ahead or behind than anybody else. It's just you have all the information on them. They've played their 4-year college career, or whatever it is, 5 years, however long they're in there. How much more are you going to learn about them? It's probably pretty marginal. Maybe you don't need to visit a player like that in the draft or bring them in or go see them. So other players, that's probably not the same case.
That being said, with the large number of underclassmen that continue to come out and coming out this year, does that mean more one-on-one time, more visits that you have to do with your staff to get to know them?
Yeah, well, the college scouts really don't get that opportunity during the fall because the schools don't think they're coming out, or even if they do, they're not going to make those players easily accessible to you. And a lot of those guys make their decisions after they get their draft status report from the league or whatever that is. So that a lot of times that process doesn't start until after they declare mid-January. So then you have a combine, you have a workout. So, you know, you just have limited knowledge on those guys. That's all. I mean, every team's in the same boat, but it's so you got a lot of catching up to do on some players like that.
Brian Flores has been in the Patriots system for a while now and seems to have grown throughout the ranks. Just how much have you seen from him as a coach and still kind of starting from the bottom there and working his way up?
Yeah, Brian's done a great job. I have a ton of respect for him. He's excelling in many different capacities in the organization.
Bill, specifically with Martellus Bennett, what in his skill set intrigued you?
Yeah, all the players that we added, we feel like can help our team. We'll see how it goes.
When you talk about losing during the season, about trying to investigate the medical stuff and why injuries were occurring, what maybe you guys could do differently. A, did you find anything that you might want to try and do differently? And B, is it kind of a trying to figure, you don't know definitively if one thing doing it differently will necessarily work or not. How do you approach it and decide, okay, how do you figure out what's causing injuries or whatever? Training methods.
Yeah, great question. We've studied it every year. We studied it again this year. I think we continue to learn a lot. Some things you can do from a team standpoint, there's some things that are more of an individual based, specific to that individual. So a combination of all those things. But there's nothing more important to us than the health and care of our players and our football team. So that's a priority. Continue to work as hard as we can on to train and maintain the health of our players.
How drastically over the years, I don't have to go all the way back to Lions or anything, but how drastically over the years is your knowledge of different training methods, different things guys can do to make themselves better conditions changed over a period of time in the league?
Well, the change in our medical staff over the last 3 to 4 years. So I've learned way more about this profession than I ever wanted to know. It's a very much an ongoing process. It's been a significant undertaking. So it's pretty extensive.
How do you, considering it's a sport that everybody, it's an overused phrase, it's 100% injury rate, but it's obviously accurate. How do you go about, just to Tom's questions there, how do you get that right? How do you training, injury prevention, and all that?
Yeah. Doing the best we can. Always a lot of room for improvement.
It's good to see the RFID tracking data the NFL's been doing for the last years. So maybe that could help with how you can use that for injury prevention.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's great.
The players that you've signed have first round picks.
Tell us kind of rubbed some of his Bears teammates the wrong way, kind of leaving Chicago. What gives him confidence he'll fit in with you guys?
I've answered that question 5 times.
But from a personality standpoint, kind of it's a problem in the locker room with the Bears on the way out.
Good talk to the Bears.
If the touchback rule proposal passes, what do you see the effect in the special teams game? Do you think more teams will try to mortar punt, mortar kicks?
I have no idea.
During the conference call last week, Rich McKay rolled through a few different positives that the league had last year. And among the positives, you mentioned passing yards, completions, points scored, total points scored. And when all that stuff is stacked up, these are the good things. As a guy who came up as a defensive head coach, you ever say to yourself, it's really hard to be a defensive head coach when the league itself is saying, all we want is points, all we want is yards, all we want is numbers.
Tom, you know as well as I do, you can do anything you want with stats. You can make them look however you want to make them look.
Is it hard to be a defensive head coach when you know so much is slanted towards making, not just you're a defensive head coach?
But it's the same for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's done a good job. They've worked hard. You know, Dave's, and Dave's done a good job. You know, he's, and his staff, and I feel like we've had a lot of, you know, the information previously. I mean, Bob left things. Really, by the time Bob left, it was pretty much done for free agency. But, you know, there's still always work to do. So, Dave and his staff, and Nick, you know, Nick obviously does a great job of that. He's very involved as well. So, yeah, we're still moving along.
Coach, how big a challenge and how tough is it to be a contender, to be in a real good mix?
Vision when you got that opportunity that you would groom and mold young people, develop them in the profession like you have.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I told Modell when I went to Cleveland, and that's what I told Robert when I came to New England. We've developed from within. Each coach is our system and developing from within, so we didn't have to change philosophies when coaches change. I had my philosophy, that's what we were going to do. Well, obviously with modifications, but we were going to change offensive, defensive, and special teams philosophies and personnel every time we made a coaching change. I tried to live by that my entire head coaching career. So I continue to do that.
Phil, when you bring in a player like Marty Bennett, who's a little different personality-wise, do you
spend a lot of time being concerned about that personnel. You just expect them to play the piece of the way to get used to your locker room.
I'll coach the team the way I've always coached it. Contract discussions would be between myself, the player, the representatives, Jerry in this case. Sharing any of those.
So we talked about Tom Brady re-upping for 2019. It might be closer to the end of your coaching career than the beginning.
Possibly.
Do you give any thought to how long or when? I mean, I enjoy it, so I'm not trying to push out. I just have.
Yeah.
Anything you want to get off your chest?
No, I'm good. Just trying to answer all your questions. Whatever I can do to help you guys out. I'm sure there's a lot of space to fill.
How did you end up being a Kid Rock deal?
Great. Bobby's a great guy.
Chance run in.
Line him up for, you know, a national anthem, or is that above the pay grade?
I just try to coach the team. Fine for me. Great to have him on our team. He never left. So, always look forward to working with him. He's a great kid.
They kind of mold each other. Is that the environment you created that they do? Some of the guys at Combine talked about their discussions and what they learned going back and forth with their organization.
Yeah, sure, that's probably true. But, I mean, after talking to them about it, they're no more about it than I do. There's probably some of that.
Bill, I couldn't, Mike asked about replacement plan for Buck Quinn. I couldn't quite hear. Did you name his replacement, or is that still a work?
Yeah, I think Nick talked about that. Yeah, so Dave will be directly the pro personnel.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were asked quite a bit about all the guys that left Buck and John Robinson. I wanted to ask you just more from your perspective of when you're finding competition for like similar players. Like, I know you're happy for them, but are you finding that these guys that came up through your system are now looking for the same type of guys as you, whether it be a free agent or something like that?
Different head coaches in those organizations, how their whole philosophy worked together and all that. You'd have to ask Bob or John or Jason. Lovey was in Tampa. I didn't see Lovey ran Lovey's stuff. I'm sure Dirk will run Dirk's. for Mike to do what Mike does and Tom, you know, I don't know. You have to ask them.
So I wanted to ask you about Logan Mankins, who retired earlier this offseason. He had plenty to say about him in 2014 when you traded him. Just kind of a postscript to what he maybe meant in his career and how he was as a guy, maybe historically. You know,
well, again, I think I talked pretty extensively about Logan, you know, after he left. So, like Gerard, he was the number one draft choice, came in and made an immediate impact on our team, and was a great person to have on our team. His family, Kara, you know, Gerard, his family, I mean, they were more than just players. They were pillars in the organization from a total standpoint.
You've often said that the leaders come organically and a team's chemistry comes organically. You can't orchestrate it. As you look at your roster right now, with some of the guys who are becoming those staples of your franchise being Devin McCourty and Hightower and guys like that, or are there some guys that we don't even think of who might be those next types of leaders that fall in that line of guys you have standard bearers for the team?
Sure, you've thought of them all, huh?
I did, yep. That was the longest
sure
question.
Sure, you've thought of them.
You
give yourself enough credit, Tom. I'm sure you've gone through it pretty well.
You've brought in a number of offensive linemen in the last couple of years who at least started a game their rookie years. Last year, three out of a couple. Most of those guys came from pro systems. A lot of coaches now are talking about the delayed development of offensive linemen because of the nature of the college offenses when they get to the NFL. Is that a strong consideration for you, whether a kid plays in an air raid or a spread offense in college, or whether it comes from a post-level system?
I don't think it's a big factor. I mean, Shaq Mason certainly didn't do that. He had two guys from Florida State, so I would say those systems that they were from are a lot different than what we do, so whatever it was, they got a lot to learn.
How much of an asset is it to have Dante back in this role?
It's great to have Dante. I had a great opportunity to coach with him going all the way back to 96 when he was on our defensive staff with myself, Romeo, and Al. Tremendous respect for Dante and the work he does in his career, where it's been on offense, defense, or special teams. He's a great offensive line coach.
I know he's been around the past couple of years in some form or fashion, right? What was he doing for the team?
Various things.
Coach, so much time is spent coming up with proposals, and there is so much talk about officials and where do they get enough reps and developing officials. So we just got to ask a question about offensive linemen, player development, developing offensive linemen. We see quarterbacks getting $40 million guaranteed, they've only played 5 or 7 games. At what point does a spring developmental league or something maybe more aimed at player development, finding reps to develop coaches, to develop referees, to develop players, is that something you feel passionate about at all? Is that something that you should be looking at?
I don't know. I've had this.
So not much merit to that to you?
Cardinal spring training while you're down here?
Not without Tony there.
All first base coach or something like that.
Sort of, different than evaluating a player who just has been in a system, but the system's different than yours. Evaluate what you can evaluate. When you watch Vince Wilfork work in Miami, I mean, all he ever played was a one-gap upfield system. It has a really good, but that doesn't mean that you can't feel like you can train and develop a player to do what you need him to do. Then. Obviously, guys that we brought in, we feel like we want to work with those players and see how it goes.
The Bears moved him to inside backfield this past year, starting him as an edge guy. Do you see him staying as an inside backer, or are you being...
I'm not to see how it goes.
In a general sense, is it as simple sometimes to say, the guy's a good football player, we'll find a way to use him in the best position possible?
I mean, I think you got to know how to use them, or you end up with just a good football player and you're just saying, well, find a way to use them. You got to figure out something. Maybe sometimes it comes to you after the fact, but we've always tried out a plan. Doesn't always work out. Try out a plan.
You mentioned the year one to year two progression and how big of a jump it is. Is that different for a guy like, you know, Trey Flowers, who basically missed the majority, if not all, of his rookie year because of injuries, as opposed to a guy like Malcolm Brown, who had a significant amount of playing time as a rookie?
It's a big jump for every player, regardless of what their actual playing time was. Each guy's different, but I still think it's a big jump.
Do you have a, you know, high amount of anticipation for what Trey Flowers can do, or is there just such a limited body of work that you just have to see what he's still capable of?
I mean, again, I think you always, you know, hope to see that big jump from year one to year two from where a player is. So, sure. It's a tough league to come into as a rookie. Not a lot of guys that come in and have a lot of playing time. There's very few, actually. So, and guys build from there, so it's no different for us than any other team. It's a big jump.
Bill, I know your long love affair with technology.
Well documented, that's right.
Have you ever looked at, like, virtual reality training for athletes and what that can do?
Yeah.
Your thoughts there?
Thoughts are the same as they are on everything else. Do what we think is best for our football team. If it's something that we're mandated to do, then we'll do it.
The drones were short-lived last year. Not like when they kind of brought up that element of the game. Maybe that short test.
So other teams have used them. Other colleges have used them. We had a guy come in and demonstrate them.
Coach, has been talking reducing the preseason to only 3 games instead of 4. Would you be in favor of that, or do you think it's a good way to...
Look at the 2017 and 2018 was going to be perhaps a game in China, perhaps a game in Germany. Would you like to be at the top of the list for either of those contests?
Schedule and we'll play them.
Get close to the end of the time here. I know you have some numbers that are going to be for your foundation.
All right, man, it's been a great opportunity. Obviously, we have an event next week to support the runners. We appreciate their support for our foundation. Thanks for asking.
Anything, you know what you do with the foundation, how you provide, is there anything that you feel like that's coming that you're proud of in terms of who you're helping?
Let's try to help people who need help. We've all been the recipients of that, so we'd be on the other end of it. Yeah, love having Dron on the team.
Final question, guys.
At the end of the Jacksonville game, you and Gus had a really nice exchange. Can you comment on kind of what they're going through, the rebuild there, and how challenging that is to start from the bottom and build up and get great attention?
Honestly, just trying to coach our team. Can't worry about everybody else. Have a lot of respect for Gus, Dave, and all, you know, all of them down there. Tony, you know, ownership, general manager, head coach. But you know, I'm just trying to coach the Patriots. That's enough for me.
Who's the best long snapper? And last question, guys.
Well, as I've said many times, the Aussie changed the game.
Guys, thank you.
Patriots Today is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots.